I've just found the worst thing on the internet.
What is it?
Chris Crocker?
No.
Go see?
No. What?
Two girls, one cup?
No, it's actually...
Two girls,
no,
one cup?
One guy, one cup.
Two girls, one cup.
I don't have a choice.
Two girls, one goat.
I have to send this to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is it... Am I going to...
You'll see from the... I mean, that's where it came from, but...
Are you sending it?
Yeah, it's on the...
You know what? It's kind of hot. I mean...
Oh, God, this better not be wrong.
No, it is... the Republicans would hate this.
Yeah, not safe for company, so...
Not safe for work at all.
Yeah, no.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's actually fetish. Gigantic girls is actually a sexual fetish.
Not to be a jerk, but it'd be less tragic if that was how it really happened.
Yeah, it was like, remember that time those two girls? Wow.
Remember this time those two gigantic naked women killed half the population of New York in a sexual frenzy? And then somebody drew a picture of it and posted it on the internet? Ah, those are good times.
You know what's worse? I can't remember, but there was one day that I saw a image. There's actually apparently people that like to draw images of dinosaurs having sex with cars.
With cars?
Yes.
I guess that's a new fetish? I don't know.
It was on the internet, and it was... I got a link to it somehow. I'm just like, what the fuck? And I was in WHRW, and I was just like sitting with people, and we were just like, what the hell?
Well, it's like the dinosaurs are dinosaurs and dragons are like a subset of the furry fetish community, and I'm like,
no,
yeah, and you know that there are people who dress up as dragons at AnthroCon.
Oh yeah, it is some crazy shit over there.
Yeah, the Mets stayed in the same hotel as. A bunch of people from AnthroCon fairly recently. God. And then I'm like, I'm following Kevin Burkhardt, who's one of the most entertaining people to follow, actually, if you like baseball on Twitter. And he's...
See, Mike, more reason for you to join Twitter, I'm just saying.
He's like, he found out that there are all these furries at his hotel. And he had no idea what was going on. So his confusion brought great lulls.
Lulls across the board.
Ah! Do you think that like who's their actual team mascot for the Mets?
Mr. Met.
Do you think he's of the furry kind?
Your head's so big. Yeah, you know.
Just like Mr. Bet just sort of attaches some like kitty ears or something to his like round baseball head. He's just baseball cat.
He'd have full grown oversized women dressed as cats trying to play with him, and he'd be like, "Oh my god!"
He's just wandering around at the cut. Kawaii. Yeah, that's what you get. All right. That's having sex right now, right?
Exactly. Mr. Met and that cat girls can't ask for anything more.
Hey, it's the same fetish that every Mets fan has. Welcome to the Mild Mannered Podcast. I am your mild mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel.
I am your mild mannered photographer, Alex Erdy.
And I am the mild mannered music man, Mike Gilbert. I think I'm going to roll with that name for a bit and see how it goes.
You know, once you kind of calm the town out of, a couple of cash, you know, promising them, great kids that can perform music, and you go to the next town.
Remember, Mike, if you think the minuet in G, you can play the minuet in G.
Exactly.
Yes.
And if we think we're podcasters, then we could podcast, goddammit. So let's get to it.
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing the whole time.
Oh, good. Good.
Wait, what?
Oh.
Before we get started this week, actually, I'd like to give a thank you to our listeners and everybody, because you obviously have been talking us up. I took a look at our stats for traffic on the blog, and we've had a gigantic spike in traffic and listeners.
Yeah, it's surprising, it was really amusing because it is one of those like, oh, okay, now you're at 41 today, and next day it's like you're at 20. It was definitely one of those funny things, and we've been getting more spam, which is always good news because that means people are starting to take notice, because when people get noticed, you get more spam.
We're spamming.
Yeah.
I just like to look at it that way. We got two comments in Russian,
yeah.
which I ran past a friend of mine who speaks Russian, I did in fact waste her time, but I just wanted to be sure. But if you guys in Russia didn't mean to put spam on our blog, I'm sorry about that. But those are marked as spam. Yeah, no. But this week we've had. I think 50 people take a look at our old Father's Day podcast,
yeah,
where we reviewed a bunch of Deadpool trades.
I think it's because I tagged a lot of it.
We'd also like to thank Wade Wilson, the Merc with the Mouth. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Please don't kill us.
We'll give you the money later when we get actual sponsors if we can.
When we have money.
Yes.
And we don't run a podcast about how we don't have any money for comic books.
Hey, I bought comics. I'm just saying. I did buy comics.
You did buy comics.
Yeah.
We can.
I bought comics this week.
Oh, did you? After we go over the week's releases. So let's do that quickly. And then we can talk about our picks and then what comics we bought, too.
We can do everything. All right, let's do it.
So.
Comics for the week of July 22nd, 2009, starting off, Richard Stark's Parker the Hunter hardcover, indie, $24.99.
Mouse Guard hardcover, volume 2, winter, 11.52, indie comics, $24.95.
Final Crisis, Rogue's Revenge hardcover, DC Comics, $19.99.
New Avengers Premium Hardcover, Power, Volume 10, Marvel Comics, 1999.
Wildcats, World's End, Trade Paperback, Book 1, DC Comics, 1799.
You know it's classy because it's Book 1, not Volume 1.
Yeah. These Wildcats are classy, folks.
Mm-hmm.
They drink tea with their pinkies out.
Pip, pip.
Cheerio. Elephant Men, Trade Paperback, Volume 2, Damaged Goods. Image Comics, $12.99.
You Have Killed Me, hardcover. Indie, 1995.
Off HB, Marvel Universe A to Z, Premier Hardcover, Volume 9.
Official
Marvel Universe A to Z, Premier Hardcover. I think it's like that's what it is. Marvel Comics, $24.99. There's always a new acronym every week.
God damn you, acronyms and short-term sentences. Creepy Archives, Hardcover, Volume 4, Dark Horse Comics, $49.95.
I'm actually really scared right now.
Sorry, guys. I know my my theatrical voices are a little too hard to handle sometimes. If any of you come out of your snuggies, guys. Stop hiding behind them. I'm just saying.
When it's safe. Fahrenheit 451 hardcover. Indie, $30.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Future Tense Trade Paperback Volume 1. Indie Comics, 1995.
Oh, fuck, I am scared now.
Turtle power!
God, the gangs in the city, it's just too hard to I'm just so scared now. Showcase presents Batman, Trade paperback, volume 4. Da-na-na-na-na-na. DC Comics, $16.99. Okay, there we go.
Okay, I was going to say for a second, I thought Batman stole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song.
I'm doing it wrong. I had to correct myself afterwards. It's like, right, no.
Berserk trade paperback, volume 30. Dark Horse Comics, $13.95. Sorry, I just went berserk there for a second. I was expecting.
You Shall Die by Your Own Evil Creation, trade paperback, indie. $24.99. Wow, is that a?
I don't want to make too much about this, but this has my vote for best title of the week and possibly best title ever.
I have to say that is a very good title. I might want to read that just because that's what it's called.
You Have Killed Me is a close second, but no, You Shall Die by Your Own Evil
Creation. My favorite one though has to be Kill All Parents.
That is a strong choice.
Pretty funny because it's a comic about all the superheroes with dead parents, and it's basically a big kind of a fake thing because all their parents are actually killed on purpose because the government knew they would get superpowers, and so they thought they should have a good background story.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyway. Main World hardcover volume 2, Gift Comes, Dark Horse Comics, $19.95.
Gift. He said comes.
Blade of the Immortal trade paperback, volume 21, Demon Lair 2. Dark Horse Comics, 1995.
Star Wars Omnibus trade paperback, volume 1, Menace Revealed. Dark Horse Comics, $24.95.
Awakening Hardcover, Volume 1, Indie Comics, 1995.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Cable Classic, Trade Paperback, Volume 2, Marvel Comics, $29.99.
Ultimate Spider-Man, Volume 1, Power and Responsibility Trade Paperback, New Printing, Marvel Comics, $19.99.
Spawn Origins trade paperback, volume 2, Image Comics, $14.99.
I have no friends because I'm Spawn, and I hate everything.
And I enjoy my red cape very much.
It's my only friend. Aren't you my cape? Yes, you're my friend. MySpace Dark Horse presents trade paperback volume 3.
LOL.
Dark Horse Comics,
1995.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Raffle copter all over that.
Is there a way to say that in different colors, Sam, with glitter?
and arm warmers.
Yeah.
God.
Is there a way to add glitter to your voice? Should you just just swallow a lot of glitter and then just start talking?
No, I just got out of a conversation with me when I was 13, so I'm pretty... Jesus Christ. All right, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of MySpace territory.
Nexus Archives Hardcover, Volume 9, Dark Horse Comics, $49.95. In the clutch!
Thanks for saving us.
Usagi Yojimbo, trade paperback, Volume 23, Dark Horse Comics, $17.95.
Marvel Adventures Fantastic Four trade paperback, 4321 digest. Marvel Comics, $9.99. I am going back in time and becoming younger with every pick that I have to read. I think I'm about 8.
The next thing Sam will read is actually is the comic version of Everyone Poops.
Superman Chronicles trade paperback, volume 7, DC Comics, $14.99.
Adventures of the Mask Omnibus trade paperback, Dark Horse Comics, $24.95.
A Drifting Life trade paperback, new printing, indie, $29.95.
How to Draw Manga Next Generation, manga trade paperback, volume 1. $12.95. See, there's Sam. Now I have a bad Asian dialect as well.
Yes, it's spreading. I will make all of you into horrible racist caricatures of the Asian culture.
Sure, okay.
Boo!
For metal alchemist.
Oh! All right, okay. Alex just kicked it up a notch.
Oh, so this is how you're going to play, huh?
Trade your paperback. Shall we
style. For room,
19. Indie, $9.99. That's it. That's all I'm going to do.
Oh, God.
You said, you know.
Right. I baited you. I baited you. I have no one to blame but myself.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I await the time when every Asian American in America is going to kill me. All right, George McManus, Bringing Up Father, hardcover. Indie, $24.95.
Inubaka, Crazy for Dogs. Trade paperback, volume 13. Indie Comics, $9.99.
And now this has gone to such a terrible place because I really want to make a dog joke. What's wrong with
All the dog owners are going to want to kill you, Sam.
Oh, God, yeah.
The dog whisperer will be coming for you.
I can't stop.
No, Cesar. No, I'm sorry.
Leonard Starr's Mary Perkins on stage. Shape it back, volume 6. Indie, $24.95.
Return to Wonderland. Trade paperback. Indie, $19.99.
Oh, come on.
Shakugan no Shana!
Trade paperback volume 4. I'm so going to hell.
They're everywhere. Oh.
Sparrow, hardcover, volume 13, Camellia Derrico. Indie, $11.99.
Stan Drake, Heart, Juliet Jones. Trade paperback volume 2. Indie, $24.95. All right, now I'm back in high school. I'm kind of getting back my age.
Oh, God. Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose. Trade paperback, volume 7, deluxe edition. Indie Comics, $34.99. Finally, something not Asian.
Transformers Animated. Trade paperback, volume 10. Indie, $7.99.
I think Alex is 6.5 years old.
Are you my mommy?
This many.
One time in class, my friend Sam, he said something funny and everyone laughed.
That doesn't sound like Sam at all.
Oh, Will Eisner's Family Matter trade paperback, Norton edition. Indie, $15.95.
Will Eisner's Minor Miracles trade paperback. Worldwide Norton edition. Indie Comics, $17.95. And that completes the trades of the week. And we apologize for the umpteenth time to any Asian Americans or Asians listening to this that take offense to us trying to make a mockery of the dialect.
We'll have to have Ryan back on.
It's not towards anyone. It's just us trying to be funny.
Yeah, we'll have to have Ryan back on the show just to sort of avoid us sort of going back into that.
And we'll have to make him read one in a mock dialect.
Yes.
We'll threaten his family
until he does, in fact, do a mock Asian accent.
No, he's got to do a mock Brooklyn accent. It's only fair.
Oh, it's just like Joey from Yu-Gi-Oh! Anyway.
Hey, guys!
My voice is real nice.
Hey, Yu-Gi! All right. Okay, let's stop. On to the picks of the week.
Yes, okay. Picks of the week.
Moving right along to our...
Can I go first?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
You're about to explode. Go ahead.
Okay. My pick of the week is Mouse Guard, hardcover volume 2, winter 1152. And I have read all the Mouse Guards up to date, including this whole story. And I have to say, it is as fucking awesome as it is fucking cute. It's like it's you take like, you take like Lord of the Rings and all those like very fantasy epics, and you just put in a smaller world with mice, and instead of a dragon, you put like an owl or a snake, and it's just it's so simple and yet so fucking awesome. And I can't, I'm sorry, I can't control myself. But after it's a very very good writing. David Peterson is brilliant. It actually it got an Eisner. The second hardcover got an Eisner Award. And it actually, as I mentioned to the guys before the podcast, it has this, it has its own RPG, which beat Dungeons and Dragons in best original RPG of the year. So that is, they are not messing.
Yeah, so, pretty good.
Shit got real.
Yep. Don't mess with the angry little mouse with the giant axe.
Speaking of RPGs, I opened up one of the card packs from this game that I just picked up. The Mad Scientist University, and one of the you know insane assignments you have to do is find a bearable roommate.
That's true. That's trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I have to say if
okay, you can go, Sam.
We are talking over. This is I thought when I bought the very first trade of this I think the fall the 10
yeah it was fall
I can't. Yeah, I can't remember the exactly. But I bought the first trade of this. I thought it was going to be a comic, pretty much a comic clone of Redwall, and it's not at all.
No, it's much better.
It's much better than Redwall, and I can't really go back to Redwall at this point, as much as I liked that in my youth. But it's quite good. It is a furry... I don't want to say furry, actually. That's got connotations, but it's a cute little mice with swords story in its own right, and doesn't pull any punches. It's pretty violent at times, even. Those mice are badass.
Yes, and the best part is like it can be for older readers, and it can appeal to younger readers who you know can't read complicated books. It's because the writing, sure. Although like it's very good, it's not super complicated. Anyone, my 12-year-old brother who hates reading, I had him read the first chapter, and he really really liked it. So, I would pick this up in a heartbeat.
Okay, very good then. So, Sam, your pick.
Yeah. Oh, and I am almost as excited as Mike is about this. My pick for the week is Richard Stark's Parker the Hunter hardcover by Darwin Cook. Oh, hell yes. This is really interesting. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. There's a review up on iFanboy, which I haven't read, but, and this just came out this week. I don't think any of these stories have ever been published before, as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. But Darwin Cook has adapted all of the story about Parker, who is a crime character by the author Richard Stark, into comic book format. And from the I've read reviews of this in the New York Times and all over the place. It's supposed to be really incredible, really good adaptation. I'm just excited because Richard Stark is actually a pen name for the author Donald E. Westlake, who's sadly dead now. But he is, as Donald E. Westlake, he did crime humor, like caper fiction, mostly about a constantly, constantly down on their luck gang.
Keep talking.
Oh, okay. Mostly about a constantly, constantly down on their luck gang, the Dortmunder gang, led by John Dortmunder. But, this is his, welcome back. This is his, like, serious crime drama stuff, about Parker. Parker's a real asshole. He's not a kind sort of man. Betrayed by the woman he loved and double-crossed by his partner in crime. Parker makes his way across country with only one thought burning in his mind, to coldly exact his revenge and reclaim what was taken from him. This looks so cool, and I would not have picked anyone but Darwin Cook to do this adaptation. His art looks absolutely spectacular when he's doing crime.
Yeah, I got a chance to actually look at this in Jim Hanley's universe. It was actually suggested to me by everyone that I talked to that worked there in the store. It was kind of a surprise. It was like, I, you know, didn't know much about it, but then it was... Yeah. And then they actually showed me this Selena's Big Store kind of a comic that he also did.
Yeah. That yeah, he's proven himself. Because he did, obviously, he did DC's New Frontier. But then, yeah, mm-hmm. Selena's Big Score, and he's been on Catwoman, the monthly Catwoman title for a while. And then he did that, Selena's Big Score is a hardcover one-shot. With just a caper featuring Catwoman and a couple of her partners in crime. And I picked that up at New York Comic Con for like half off, I think. I got really? A deal on it.
It's apparently sold out. It's apparently like out of print now.
Oh, well, good for me.
Yeah, no.
it was a good read. So he's I have a feeling that I liked his art on that. I wasn't as wild about his plotting of the book.
But would you suggest it, though? Because there are copies of it still at Jim Hanley's, so I'm third attempted to activate it.
Selena's Big Score? Yeah. I mean, a healthy appreciation of Selena Kyle, the Catwoman, is sort of a must for that sort of thing. But I have a feeling that Donald E. Westlake / Richard Stark's fantastic, fantastic crime fiction coupled with Darwin Cook's ability as a comics artist is, oh man, this can only be fantastic, and I can't wait to see it because I'll just snap it up immediately. And that is my pick of the week. I thought this week was really good in general for me in terms of stuff that I was interested in. I mean, Usagi Yojimbo has a new collection out and everything, but this just stood out in my mind.
For me, this week was actually
Alex. Alex, yeah. You were having an interesting week.
Yes, first, I was going to pick Marvel 1985 for the trade paperback.
But
I get to the store and I am told, why, sir, we're not supposed to get that until next week. And Comicology has failed me. It is actually on this week's releases as well, still on iFanboy, but it's not actually out this week. And they tricked me. So
liars.
So I go through this whole list of things. It's like, oh, I want to like, oh god, there's like things I need. I gotta pick something this week. I'm screwed if not. And I'm going through this list of things. It's like, oh, what can I pick from? And so I was like, oh no, what am I gonna do? Oh no, you know, so like, oh, Stephen Colbert's Tex Jansson hardcover. Oh no, they don't have that out either. But then it says it's there. Tasty Bullet, don't have that either. That seemed interesting also. And you have killed me. They didn't. I don't think they actually had that. I was like looking, and then I asked, "Okay, what about this comic, Union Station New Edition?" And I was told, "Yes, we do, but it is just a reprint." But I said, "Whatever. It's $12. I can afford that." And so I picked that up. And this is an Oni Press comic, and it is a really interesting thing. It's by Andy Parks, who normally does actually inking for Marvel and DC. Basically, they do it's this story about actually 1933, about Frank Nash being pinned, you know, in the feds. And it's basically it's kind of like it's actually a historical graphic novel about sort of the whole kind of it's. The big deal right before the FBI was being created with J. Edgar Hoover and everything, and it's about this massacre that happened in Union Station in Kansas City when they were being transferred, and basically they were all gunned down, and it's just sort of this little short event that happens, and it's really interesting, actually. I'm not sure, like, I kind of got confused a couple times, like, I wasn't sure, like, I forgot who was who, and it's like, wait, what's happening? But it's just this, it's a nice story, black and white, very beautifully done, very a lot of cross-hatching, and a lot of actual, it's really interesting, there's they also use kind of the old pulp book, the old style kind of comics, where it's like just dots also.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the what is that, Bit Matrix?
Yeah, Bit Matrix. Or something?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and it's really cool just to sort of also see the old-fashioned, 1930s kind of styles and the cars.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, and it's just this, it's really cool, you know. There's also a humongous selection of also footnotes as well in the back as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. It wasn't bad, you know. I definitely, it's a nice thing just to sort of have in the rack. And you guys can feel free to borrow it from me when we're all together again.
You said red.
Yay!
Yeah. And also, because I was like, sort of before I bought this, I went to a comic book store twice, and the first one I went to, I was just like, whatever, and I picked up The Amazing Spider-Man, issue 600, which is actually a single issue, which is why it really doesn't count, because we talk about trades. But this is
it's like, okay, it's issue 600, yeah, we get it, it's a big thing.
It is. It was a big thing, and it's actually, it was just this sort of great sort of little thing, because of all these mini-stories, you get to see, you know, Aunt May get to marry, you know, basically J. Jonah Jameson's dad. So, officially, now they're brothers.
Oh,
JJ and Peter Parker are now stepbrothers, which is just amazing.
Awkward! I smell a sitcom!
Oh, yeah. And it's great, though, because there's actually a... There's an appearance from... Guess who, guys?
Norman Osborn?
Nope.
Yeah.
And not that Norman. Star.
The Spot?
Nope. I wish The Spot would have made an appearance once in this book. But Dr. Octopus.
Batman.
Okay, Dr. Octopus.
Ooh.
And it's really That's cool, actually, good. Because you kind of it's one of those kind of villains. It's like, I think, what the hell's been going on with this guy? And you kind of learn it, and it's a sort of great, like, kind of realization. So, like, oh, fuck. That's horrible. And he has this sort of great kind of return. And it's a great idea that's planned very well. And then you got some silly stories. You got a Stan Lee story. There's six stories in this, actually. Six multiple stories. It's very thick, actually. It's about, like, 50 pages, I think.
Oh, wow. It's enough pages that it's worth your money. I heard
Over on the it's $5. That's sort of it's $5, and you get a lot of stories. There's not like you have to read this next comic to get anything out of it. It's just they're all on their own. It's very nice, and they also have this great like bunch of things as well called comic book covers that will never happen. Spider-Man covers that like. It's Spider-Man covers you'll never see. And it's like all these different writers and artists just sort of kept getting together to do the worst possible things. So they have one where it's just like talking about how Spider-Man and the FBI get together in the 1970s to do a whole bunch of comics, do two comics and, you know, only two because after that they were unceremoniously dumped. And like one cover is with a villain, with a peace sign on his head and like, tune in, drop dead. And then Spider-Man saying, "Ah, Sergeant Hippie's way out mind ray is making me hate my parents." and it's just great fun. And there's a whole bunch of, just small stories. There's one that's done by Mark Guggenheim and does art with Mitch Brettweiser, one of my favorite artists. And it's this great story with just Aunt May, just her talking. And it's this really, beautiful story. And then they also, there's a story where they make fun of the Spider-Mobile.
Oh, well, how can you not make fun of the Spider-Mobile?
Yeah, but it's basically, it's Peter Parker.
It's one of the most retarded things
Yeah,
ever.
I know, exactly. And then it's just them saying that with Peter Parker just sort of saying it. It's just like, you know what, maybe he just made a bad decision, Spider-Man. Maybe he just, you know, he just didn't think about it too much. And then at the end, it's just like, the end, dedicated to the Spider-Mobile, ASM... 130 to 160. Rest in pieces. and there's also a really good story as well. It's definitely a fantastic kind of package. But there's this beautiful story as well written. Can't find it right now, but it's basically called My Brother's Son by Mark Waid, and it's all about Uncle Ben. But not like, Peter remembering Uncle Ben. It's actually Uncle Ben, with Peter as a kid. And they're sort of like, what the hell do I do? I'm not a dad. And, it's this fantastic story, actually, and it made me sort of tear up at the end.
Aww.
And it's really sweet. Aww. It's that's great, kind of, you don't get that enough. Because as I sort of said on the Father's Day show, Uncle Ben is just sort of the starting of all the, Spider-Man origin stories, and it's occasionally just he's referenced again whenever Peter loses his way, technically, or morally, whatever you want to put it. And I think this is sort of like, I like that kind of just actually seeing Uncle Ben being Uncle Ben, not like Uncle Ben dying all the time.
That's good and all. Yeah, I can agree with you on that.
So, you know, I know if you do buy if you actually do go out and buy comics occasionally, pick up and you see Amazing Spider-Man 600 on the racks, pick that up if you can. I mean, I'm not sure. It'll probably be in a trade soon. I'm not sure what trade it would put in. But it was a great comic. I enjoyed it. I'm glad it was kind of like out of any continuity, so it was nice to know that, but. Yeah. So let's go on to what we actually, like, did anyone buy anything else? Because I definitely have something else that I did buy as well.
Aside from Mouse Guard,
actually. Okay, cool.
Yes, I bought Mouse Guard and I read it and I devoured it and I loved it.
Cool.
aside from that, no.
Okay. Well, what about you?
I haven't bought anything, I don't think.
Okay.
I've been venturing out of the house very much.
Well, I actually, you know, because I was inspired by the whole Vertigo kind of selling their comics for $10, their first volumes, I went out and got Northlanders by Brian Wood. And DMZ as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it, actually, but I will once I, for next week, because I know book two is coming out, so I will kind of decide whether or not I want to make it my pick of the week. But I'm looking forward to reading it, though. It's beautiful art, you know. And I kind of was talking with a friend of ours, Carolyn Perney, and she said that she liked the beginning of it, but she did not like the end of it. So I'm not, you know, I'm kind of nervous. But you know what? $10, exactly. And I also picked up DMZ as well, because, again, I really enjoyed it, and I want to kind of just throw it around to people. But the other thing is that I got to see Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente talk on Comic Book Club again, so I had to buy something. I did not have anything... trade-wise of theirs, besides The Incredible Hulk, but that was actually from the library. And so I picked up The Incredible Hercules, Love and War, because it was one of my favorite trades written. And so I got them to sign it. And he, Fred Van Lente, pointed to it, really his favorite part of the comic, when The Incredible Hercules is just sort of really angry and just sort of holding his arms, just like pouting. And just... crossing his arms around his chest, and it's very funny.
Meh.
Yeah. Oh, telepathy. How convenient. It's, and it's definitely a very, like, it's one of my favorite comics, and we'll have to read it sometime. Because if you enjoy Greek mythology at all, Mike, you would really love this comic.
I see what you did there.
Yes. But yeah, that's what I bought, and you know, I couldn't actually record anything with Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak because they came kind of late, and then they left pretty fast. But I do know
that's how most of them are.
But I do know now that my character, Armor Agent Alex Erdy, will be coming back again in Hulk 601. So look forward to that. I'm just saying, it's going to be pretty awesome.
I would definitely pick that up just to see that just to see your character and just not really care about the rest of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't really have a vested interest in the rest of that, but
I would have to pick it up. I mean, I picked up reading She-Hulk after all, and that's really fun though. I'm definitely going to pick that up and trade.
Yeah.
I cannot actually wait for that to come out and trade. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, that's what I picked up this week.
Okay. I dig.
Yeah. So, anything happen for anyone as well? Anything fun? Anyone do anything crazy?
I've just been sitting around and getting this science fiction project going.
Started. Nice.
I think I mentioned that last.
Yes, you did. Last.
Yeah. We've been moving forward. Hopefully we're launching in January of 2010. So we can get a good buffer zone. But other than that, I've just been sitting out, fleshing out the world that we're working with.
Oh, cool! That's really interesting. Like, if you need any, I would like to hear more about it in another time.
Oh, absolutely! Anything you want to know? I'll give you guys any periodic updates if you really want it. But right now, we're just sitting back editing our wiki and making saying. Sure we're all on the same page. We're already running into creative differences, and so
oh no, it's, not creative yeah, differences. But, yeah.
We're bringing the drama already, but no, we're probably going to have a conference early tomorrow and work some of that out. But I haven't okay. really been up to a lot other than that. It's been I played an epic game of Ultimate Frisbee yesterday.
Ooh, epic, that went, you say?
Oh god, it went on for like 2 hours, and final score was 15-13 just because we get we can't play anymore. First one of 15. But that's yeah. I haven't been doing any comic stuff lately, except for, I'll bring it up, actually. You guys talk about what you did, then I have a nominee for Get the Fuck Out of the Week. I
think oh, yeah, we got to do that as well, right. You first.
Let's see. Aside from reading Mouse Guard, I've just been reading some more books. I've been getting back into some of my acting books. I actually got this really cool book on stage combat.
Reading Uta Hagen.
No, not Uta Hagen's, no.
What do you have against the woman?
It's no, it's not. It's actually my book is by a woman. I don't have the book in front of me, but it's by a woman. Anyway, I was reading the chapter on stage falls today, and I tried a stage fall out on my coworkers, and they all freaked out because half of them are lifeguards.
Yes,
so I couldn't help but just laugh. They were pretty pissed at me the rest of the day. But
yeah, Mike, you're going to turn into the mild-mannered boy who cried hernia
death. Oh, is that my name now?
Oh. Well, sad. If you keep doing that.
The mild mannered baby.
But anyway, that's something I've been doing.
That's productive, I guess.
Yeah. And I've also I was thinking now that really fascinating about your sci-fi project, Sam, is I've been trying to string together writing I don't know if I'm going to call it a story yet. I'm not exactly sure if I want to call it a story or an epic or a short story or a comic or a graphic novel. I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing with it yet, but I'm writing a fantasy story. I've just started doing it about a month ago, and I've just started writing chapters, and I'm going back and getting them edited by my girlfriend Carolyn, who's a good editor and stuff. And I'm doing character designs and things like that in the event that I want to put this as an illustrated book or a comic of some sort.
Yeah. Well, once you find out more, well, you'll have to get back to us.
Well, yeah. Once I type up some early chapters, I can send you guys some and see what you think.
Okay. Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Yay! So that's what I've been up to this week, and now you may go, Alex.
I've just basically been sitting in the hospital with my grandma, watching her changing pillows, and you know, I've been reading some comics. I've been reading more Fables. We've been running into Ed Koch some more. It's been fun. I'm trying to start a romance between Ed Koch and my grandma, but it's not working.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. She said that he's not her type.
Alas.
Yeah. It was really funny, though. He was making eyes at her in physical therapy. And then, you know, something really unfortunate happened, and it was kind of a bad thing that he was making eyes then. Yeah.
Oh, hospitals.
Yeah. So depressing. I was handing off this to his bodyguard. He has a personal bodyguard, and I was handing the personal bodyguard some comic, the free comics that you would get, sort of like the if you watched Watchmen. Yeah. Now try these.
Like, yeah, yeah.
They've been doing that now, and so I was handing him that. He liked. He seemed to like Planetary. It's very. It was just like yeah.
That bodyguard has good taste.
Yeah,
bodyguard.
Well, I mean, I handed him Planetary, and I handed him 100 bullets. So,
interesting.
Yeah, it was what I had on me. That was just I didn't really care about keeping because it was just free anyway. But yeah, that is what has happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I have to vent on this real quick.
Yeah, okay, get the fuck out of the week.
Slash things Alex hates. Part X.
The thing that Sam hates, first of all.
Things that Alex will watch Sam hate.
Yeah.
Listen
that
to
we,
Sam.
That we don't want to put an end number on because there might be... Oh, God. There are a quantum amount
it's
of things
feature.
I hate.
It's a feature. Don't, you
it's
know.
So we're going to do the RPG / mathematical thing. You just put an X on that.
Yeah, so for those of you keeping score at home, this week, the deluxe edition of Tarot Witch of the Black Rose, Volume 7, came out. And now, have you guys read this piece of shit with legs, any of it?
Nope.
I only heard of it. Yeah. If any of you guys out there who read Chris Sims' material on Chris's Invincible Super blog, he has gone through and read pretty much every issue of this wasteland of comicdom. Let me say, it is like, I don't even, it's about a witch named, who calls herself Tarot, first of all.
I'm just saying this looks really also another, this just looks like it's the Cheesecake Award also.
Oh, it is absolutely a Cheesecake Award. But it is a Cheesecake Award that has won awards in the comics community from Project Fanboy and others for being empowering to women.
That's not empowering at all.
No, it's not. It makes me uncomfortable. The level to which it is not empowering. The amount to which she goes it empowers other people to probably go out and rape somebody.
Does it empower girls in tiny, tiny bikinis?
Only the tiniest ones.
Yeah.
The other ones,
the ones so tiny that if they sit funny, it breaks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I swear, when, Taro's had the same chainmail spandex bikini lodged inside of her for I don't know how long. A few decades, I'd say. Because I don't know if she takes that off. No, actually, she does take that off. Because she takes it off regularly. Roughly really? Every other issue. And in the later issues that I actually read, I torrented the whole thing because I refuse, in fact, to pay for it. I torrented it, I read it, and the entire thing was spent naked. The entire 3-issue arc in which she gets kidnapped, stripped, taken to the Arctic, and chained up in various... Actually, she's chained up to an apparatus, let's say, where other women that are like this guy's lackeys, called the Bleeding Man or whatever. I don't even know. Maybe it's a menstrual metaphor. I don't know. They chain her up with magical chains. Yes, no, I know. They chain her up with magical chains. So this is like an old Wonder Woman comic now. And they chain her up naked to some logs, some sort of thing, so that her butt's in the air, so they can have easy access to her vagina, so they can make her leak, if you know what I am saying.
What?
Yes. No, this is their strategy. Whoa. This is their strategy.
Wow.
And this is empowering to women. This is, like, the best of the comics. No. Fuck. It makes me so angry that this is even so big. It's gone for 50 issues plus.
I feel like we should have Carolyn read this just so she can get angry and talk about it on the show.
Yeah, no. Carolyn would probably set things on fire with her mind. It'd be like fucking Carrie. Okay, would be dangerous to give to her. I don't know.
Mike, you might die in the crossfire.
Yeah, you might actually want to prevent Carolyn from listening to this episode, Mike.
Does she actually listen to this? Is she angry at me, actually, for, like, last week?
No, she's not angry at you. Why would she be angry at you?
Okay, good.
No, wait, well, why would she be angry at you?
You guys were joking that you'd tell Regina and Carolyn that I forgot that they were on the show.
Oh, I forgot that they existed.
Yeah.
Oh.
But
first of all,
I don't even remember if I even took carried out said threat, but yeah. I don't remember. So obviously I either did not or I did
wow.
And you wiped my memory.
The award is best indie title actually from Project Fanboy.
Oh yes. Yeah, best indie title and best title. I think it won best title.
I think it's hilarious that best count like their awards are best comic book to movie adaption, then best comic book to movie adaption actor, and then best comic book to movie adaption actress. And so it's just Batman, The Dark Knight for comic to movie, actor for that, Heath Ledger, also in Batman, The Dark Knight. And then Gwyneth Paltrow, she was Pepper Potts though, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fine. For a second, I thought it was I thought she was girl and but then I realized nope, never mind.
But this is like I just pulled up that that link to the 2008 winners of the Project Fanboy Awards. And Tara, Witch of the Black Rose, won Best Indie Title and Best Title. Best Title!
Oh, wow. There's gotta have been, like, better series out there. I mean, really?
There are! Like, every series, everything that's published is better than this. Webcomics, free webcomics that are drawn
Jeff Loeb comics?
Jeff Loeb comics are head and shoulders above this. Webcomics that are about a girl who finds out that she's a lesbian, and it's really hard to be a lesbian, you guys. Those are better than this. Those are better than this because they have respect for something. This doesn't respect anyone. And people love it. She has it from
well, people, I guess people who have no respect for themselves probably like it.
Seriously. And there's like, okay, here's the characters. Tarot. For one thing, this is also something for Wiccans to just masturbate over, because I don't even know. yeah, so actually I'm thinking about buying a couple issues and giving it to a couple of friends I know who claim to be Wiccan and say, okay, go away.
Yeah.
She is, but from the wiki, she has a winged cat familiar named Puka, which is seemingly intelligent at times, yet distinctively a cat. Oh, Puka. She is drawn, Taro is drawn with large breasts and often nude. Thanks, Jim Belent. Thank you so much for advancing what the comic can do. And before, I just want to say one more thing. I thank Wikipedia for doing this. The two-word phrase, large breasts, is linked. On Wikipedia, large breasts links to the article on breast fetishism, because there's only one other place to go. Because this is what this is. This is a fetish comic that masquerades somehow as a feminist argument. I'm angry. I'm sorry to take up so much time with this, but I want to say.
I understand. Why is this get the fuck? Is it like they get the fuck out of the week award and the cheesecake award? Because
Can it get the double whammy? Can it please just get the double whammy?
Yeah, it can get the double whammy. Because Jim Belen is a
The thing is also, this week is also Grimm's Fairy Tales Return to Wonderland trade paperback, which is incredibly cheesecake in itself as well, because
yeah,
I mean,
but
I've never read it,
that's
but
like quality. That's is it? That I've heard good things about Grimm Fairy Tales. Not like tremendously good things about Grimm Fairy Tales, but it's certainly better than Jesus. One issue of Tarot has they're saved by the ghosts of the firefighters that died on 9/11.
What the fuck?
They fucking show up because, like, the villain.
9/11, Sam, by the way, like the thing you found at the beginning of the show, and then this.
Yeah, there's like the villain of the issue is Latex Red, who is evil and has part of her characterization is that she's jealous of another character who had bigger boobs than she did, so she went out and became evil and got breast implants. That's her character, just saying. Wow. So she's like the villain, wow. And she actually activates a bomb that's going to blow half of Manhattan sky high. So the ghost of the firefighter.
This is beyond retarded.
Yeah. This is special education. They show up. And they say, hey, we died to protect the city. You think that a little thing like death was going to stop us? And that's actually their dialogue.
Oh, God,
and then
that is
they
show horrible.
Up and they deactivate the bomb. Wait for it. And then the male interest, the male lead says, regarding magic, it might give you a ghost of a chance. I rest my case. I can't say anything else. Or I'm going to go out and murder the first person I see.
Oh, now I see. Now I see this
Jim
person.
Lent, I am going to find you at a comic book convention. I'm going to punch you square in the jaw, and I'm going to stand over your, and I'm going to say no, bad Jim.
This is horrible. I'm looking at this. Nope.
You killed trees for this.
I'm looking at Chris's the ISB blog, the Chris's Invincible Super blog. And he has the images up from this, and it's just horrible. Oh, my God.
super awful. I mean, that's the only reason that Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose, should ever exist, is so that Chris Sims can make fun of it. Because he constructs the entire thing more comprehensively than I could ever hope to. So if you, you know, if you are out as outraged as I am, just go to the-isb.com, I think is the URL.
Yeah.
And
Google Chris's Superblog.
Yeah, Chris Sims, Chris's Invincible Superblog, and he's got pretty much every issue that needs it is deconstructed. I'm really tired. They say that magic takes it out of you, but man, yeah. I'm sorry. So that's the that's,
so that's
my guess.
That's it. Everything is that everything.
This is another thing that I hate.
And that concludes things that Sam hates and things that Alex watches Sam hate.
I don't know what you're doing during all this.
Me?
Yeah. You describe
us. I'm kind of just silent.
Are you just narrating?
In a way, maybe.
Mike actually has a side project, another podcast that he hasn't told us about us ranting and you watching me rant.
It's called Angry Nerds and
Very popular.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta take a couple breaths.
Yeah, do you need to rest?
After he takes his couple of breaths,
God, I need
we'll come back with Masterpiece Comic Book Theater.
Hi, this is mild-mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel here. I know you guys are expecting to hear Masterpiece Comic Book Theater right now, but there's a problem with that, see. Because my problems with Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose were just too entertaining for me to shut the hell up for 2 seconds and stop ranting. So, at the expense of Masterpiece Comic Book Theater, you got all of that humor. We've divided the podcast this week up into two parts. The second of which is coming soon with our review of Planet Hulk and Masterpiece Comic Book Theater, which I guarantee is a hoot.
And also you and Mike as evil scientists as well.
Yes, our audition as evil scientists, which I hope will turn into a career path at some point. But that is forthcoming, and you have no one to blame but my angry self. So for that, I apologize.
My ability to edit it down to a short amount of time.
Well, there's only so much that editing software can do.
Yeah, there's so many entertaining, like, you know, things from you about this, like, you know, just evil, like, and just anger.
Well, when you have a comic book like Tarot that comes from the blackest depths of Satan himself, there's nothing that I can do about it.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to thank you, Sam, for just being so, you know, forthcoming with this, apology. I wasn't sure how hard it would be to get from you. So
no, I know when I'm in the wrong. I also know when comic books are bad, but I've made a mistake, and I'm willing to accept that. Yeah. I only hope that our listeners can forgive me.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Al.
Right now, by the miracle of recording.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Mr. Magic.
Here's a magical game we can all play.
Hi, boys and girls. Hi, boys and girls. Hi, boys and girls. Hi, boys and girls. Boys and girls.
Just follow along in your book with the storyteller, and when you hear this signal...
Be careful with that needle. It scratches.
Hey, was fun, wasn't it?
Do you know what I learned today? I was watching Animal Planet's 50 Most Outrageous Animal Facts. Mm-hmm. Do you know that a male pig's orgasm lasts for over 15 minutes?
What? I would lose my damn mind.
Mike, I'm eating right now. I'm eating a burger of a bad guy. I'm
reminded of this. He shoots, he scores.
You know what would be even better? If you were eating pulled pork. Hey-o.
Bacon. There's bacon on this burger.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's like the Grimm fairy tales thing.
Yeah, it's basically the same people.
I got a flyer for that at NYCC when I went. And I, like, had to, when I went home, I made sure
you
that I, like,
to it?
I come, thanks, Alex. No, aww. Well, besides that, I made sure that it was, like, hidden underneath a couple of layers of things in my box. Cause I was like, cause, you know, my parents are going to be there while I, like, unpack and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is a little weird.
You hide it in the too cool to be forgotten trade you picked up.
Because if there's one thing that Alex is good at, it's jumping in front of things that are moving 90 miles an hour.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a skill. He has it listed on Facebook.